हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। नमः ओम विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमद् भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रजारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादेशधारिणी श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। सो नास्ति बुद्धिर अयुक्तस्य न जा अयुक्तस्य भावना न जा अभाव यदशान्तिर अशान्तस्य कुतः सुखम्। दैट इज द वर्ड्स वी आर लुकिंग एट, इज़न्ट इट? नास्ति बुद्धिर, कृष्ण सेज दैट युक्तम, द युक्त वर्ड इज द इम्पोर्टेंट वर्ड। नास्ति बुद्धिर अयुक्तस्य नजा अयुक्तस्य भावना नजा अभाव यद शांतिर अशांतस्य कुतः सुखम्। इम्पोर्टेंट वर्ड्स इन दी इन दैट चैप्टर एंड देन आफ्टरवर्ड्स कृष्ण सेड प्रसादे सर्व दुखानां हानिरस्योप जायते प्रसन्न चेद सौख्याशु बुद्धिवर्य अवतिष्ठते। वी हैव सीन दैट एंड देन इन द वर्स 67 सो सॉरी वर्स 66 वर्स नास्ति बुद्धिरायुक्तस्य न जा अयुक्तस्य भावना न जा अभाव यद शांतिर अशांतस्य कुतः सुखम्। वी सो दैट वन हु हैज who has not any transcendental consciousness can neither have a controlled mind nor steady intelligence, without which there is no possibility of peace, and how can there be any happiness without peace? Then we saw Krishna says that even if one has come to that stage, that means he has the yukta nature in him, the state of yukta, and with that he has developed the buddhi, the proper transcendental intelligence. That's the translation here. Buddhi is given here as transcendental intelligence. If you see in the verse 66, the translation for word buddhi, Prabhupada is given as transcendental intelligence. And naja ayuktasya bhavana, that one who is ayuktasya. Ayuktasya means one who is not in the Krishna consciousness. Naja abhavayada shanti. Bhavana means bhakti actually. One who has no ayuktasya means one who has no yukta state. He is in the, he has no bhavana and bhakti, and one who has no bhakti, naja abhava, abhava means in the absence of bhakti, there will be no shanti. And abhavayada shantir ashandasya kutasukham. And one who has no shanti, there is no happiness for him. So all those things were spoken in that verse. We discussed that. And then Krishna said in the 67th verse, the next one, he says, Indriyanam hi charadam yanmanonu vidhiyade tadasya haradi pratyam vayurnava mivambhasi. It's a verse to tell us that even after reaching that state, if one of the senses, mind goes through one of the senses to the world outside, there is a possibility that you can, it can take away your transcendental intelligence, can go. In other words, even one sense, if the mind thinks about even one sense, and or get attached to one of the sense enjoyment, it can steal his transcendental intelligence. So you can see how difficult it is, that there is no guarantee that after you got there, it will stay like that. It is possible that if there is any vasanas inside still not fully cleared up, it is possible that this can happen. It can happen. That's why I'm saying here, Indriyanam hi charanam yanmanonu vidhiyade tad asya haradi pratyam. Haradi pratyam means it will steal your transcendental intelligence. Vayurnava mivambhasi. So, then after saying this, what it means is that if there is still any vasanas left inside, there is a possibility of taking rebirth again. Possibility of taking rebirth again. That's what he's saying here. So remember yesterday I was talking about that example with the sannyasi and the person who came to the ashram to stay there. So why is that? Normally in the Ashtanga Yogam, who practices, people who are practicing Ashtanga Yogam, when they have perfected it, they can get the soul to leave the body from Brahmarantram. That means from the top. It'll break through this and leave the body. For Jnanis, the soul goes and merges with the super soul inside, in the heart. Soul merges and goes with the super soul inside in the heart. For ordinary mundaners, like all of us, who are not in any spiritually higher state, for us, the soul, we have to live through one of the holes in the body. And for devotees, that is Krishna's choice. What Krishna, however he wants to do it, that is completely left to Krishna's decision. So, Vayurnava Mivambhasi. Now here what will happen is that in that particular incident we're discussing, that person who has, he was advised by the sannyasi to keep his eyes closed and stay in a transcendental consciousness. But unfortunately, at that time, when he kept his eyes closed and he was lying down, and the sannyasi has kept his left hand on his forehead and the right hand on his chest, allowing the soul to go back to the super soul. Because sannyasi was in a very advanced state to know these things. But instead of what happened was at that point, that suddenly, remember the mangoes who were kept next to him, he was thinking about that, and that vasana came out, and he opened his eyes looking for the mango. And sometimes it is like that. You may think that some silly thing it will catch hold of. It may not be important for us, but at that point in time, how the mind will act is very difficult to say. The mind will find something, some silly small thing as important at that point. It won't be thinking in terms of the leaving the body or going back to spiritual world and things, thoughts may not happen. It can happen that you will find something very silly as important, and the mind will go after that. At that time you have no control over it. This is at the time of leaving the body. So that's why the sannyasi deliberately kept the mangoes away from there so it doesn't fall his attention. The smell won't attack him to help him. But still inside vasana has not left. So it went after the mangoes again, thinking that although he was leaving the body, the thoughts went after the mangoes. It may look silly, but that's how it happens to us. So there are so many situations like this happening all the time. While leaving the body, people's attention goes to something they are very attached to. They will be attached to wealth, attached to some family members, and attached to something which you cannot imagine that that they gave importance to it at the time of death. So, at that time, it is not in our control. This is what I'm saying. That is in Krishna's control. Why? How it is going to happen? So, there's not a lot you can do at that point, because this is where a devotee's prayers to Krishna, that whatever happens at that time, I may not remember you, but you should remember me. If Krishna remembers us, then we can escape. But if we think that with our ability we will remember something, it won't happen. Kulashekara Alvar says this in the prayers. Krishna Todiya Padabangaja Panjarandam Advaivamevashadu Manasa Rajahamsa Prana Prayana Samaye. Prana Prayana Samaye means at the time of Pranan leaving this body. Kapha Vata Pittai Kapham Vatam Pittam Kandhava Rodhanam. That will come in the throat and start choking there. So normally you can see when when the last breath happens, the final breath when we leave this body, they have name for that in the Shastra. Urdhvan, Chinnan, like that they have six different types of last breath, what we call it. So people who have that experience, they know that which is the last one, and then they know that it's gone, finished. So Kuleshwara Alvar is saying that Kandhava Rodhana Vidhau Smaranam Kutaste, that when the time of leaving this body, the mucus will come and choke inside, and doctors normally they put some kind of a scraper and scrape it out, that from the throat, the mucus, so that you can breathe. But whatever you may do, keep building up inside, and at that time there is no question of that we will think about Krishna. It's not going to happen. Because of the physical discomfort what you are experiencing at that moment. So it says there that Kandhava Rodhana Vidau Smaranam Kutaste. How will I remember you? Therefore, the only prayer to Krishna is that at the time of leaving this body, that if Krishna gives us that thought inside, or Krishna makes arrangements so that you can remember him, then it will happen. Otherwise, it may not happen. You can't plan that. This is the point I'm making. That you can't plan the death the way you want it. In the Bhagavadam, if you look into Bhishma Stuti, Bhishma's prayers, at that point, you will see there that when Bhishma was leaving the body, all the sages came there, isn't it? All the sages came to see Bhishma. That was, of course, Krishna's arrangement. All the sages were present, Pandavas were present, Krishna was present. And when, after Bhishma has left the body, the sages were going back home, going back to their ashrams, respective ashrams they were going to. So at that time there is a conversation between among the sages. There is a conversation. If you read in the Bhagavadam, you will see there. There they are saying there that the Tadasta Krishna Hridayo Swashraman Prayayo Punam. That they were saying that Krishna Hridaya, that keeping Krishna in the heart, Swashrama Prayayo Punam. They were saying that if one has to die, one should die like this, like the way Bhishma has left the body. Why? Because Krishna came personally to remind him that Krishna was present in front of him. He could see Krishna and leave the body. All the other devotees were helpful. They were also glorifying Krishna. So in the middle of all these things, Bhishma Pitamaha was able to glorify Krishna. And seeing Krishna, Bhishma left the body. And Krishna stood right in front of him at the feet so that Bhishma could see him, because he was lying on the Sharashaya, isn't it? On the bed of arrows. So he couldn't in order to help Bhishma, Krishna went and stood next to the feet, so that when he looks, he could see him right in front of him. So in Bhishma's prayers also, this is mentioned. Similarly, the sages also, while leaving the ashram, they mentioned about this, tadastha krishna hridayo swashraman prayayo puna. That they mention that this is how they would like to leave the body. So if one wants to leave the body in that way, one should say to Krishna now, before all that stage comes, that we can say to him that this is one desire I have to leave this body in that way. And it may or may not happen depending on our Krishna's mercy. That is completely in Krishna's hands, not in our hands. So having said that, so we are saying here that the Jnanamargam, these possibilities are there, but if we have executed Krishna's instructions properly in this life, then we can expect some mercy from Krishna, isn't it? If we haven't done anything, nothing was performed to please Krishna, but at the end expecting mercy will not happen. It may not happen. So Krishna is saying here, Indriyanam hi charadam yan manonu vidhiyade. That if one of the indriyam, one of the senses takes away the mind in that route, through that particular sense, tad asya haradi pratyam, immediately you lose your transcendental knowledge or transcendental pratya, transcendental intelligence, in other words, will be lost. And vayurnavam ivambhasi, just like the in the air, Krishna is so indriyanam hi charadam yanmanonu vidhiyade tadasya harati pratyam vayurnavam ivambasi. That as a boat on the water is kept away by a strong wind. Nava means a boat. So just like the boat is swept away by a strong wind, vayurnavam ivambasi, similarly he says one of the senses on which the mind focuses can carry our transcendental intelligence at that point. So basically what it means is that if we, by some reason, if some vasana is still inside, then the mind will go through that particular sense to fulfill that vasana. It can happen. And it may look very silly at that point, that there was such a silly vasana inside. That is the nature of this mind. Vasana kshayam, or all the vasanas has not gone away from inside, then it will come up in some form inside. And that's therefore Krishna talked about this vasana very much in length in the second chapter. First he spoke about not to create new vasanas. Secondly, existing vasanas, how one should get out of it by processes what he has spoken before. So that's that what we were discussing yesterday. So the sannyasi could say that because he opened his eyes at that point while leaving, in the last breath, he understood that the pranan or the life air, instead of going and dissolving with the super soul, that through the eye it has gone somewhere and gone and taken birth again. Gone through the eyes and taken again. because of the vasana inside, he had some asakti. Asakti means attachment. And it could be some small thing, and the mind is gone and got stuck there in that. If it finds something, some speciality somewhere, vayurnavam ivambasi, then the whole mind will drag you that way. Subtle body has to follow the mind. So the mind goes in some particular way, then the whole subtle body follows that way. So that is what has happened. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Narada Maharshi instructed Vedavyasa Maharshi to write Srimad Bhagavatam, the instruction was that every now and then you should remind those who are reading Bhagavatam that that everywhere you should remember that everything what you see is Krishna. That way you should remind that. Narada instructed this to Vedavyas in the Bhagavatam. Because if the only way not allow the mind to go and to get distracted is possible only if we see everything as Krishna's manifestation, Bhagavad Swarupam. If we see like that, then there is no danger. If we see it in that way, if there is no danger. So, till that happens, till the living entity has got fixed in that state, that everything is Krishna's expansions, that this attachment to one object or the other cannot be taken away from him. In other words, that if he hasn't come to that stage, and if he has vasanas inside, it will go after that. There is no doubt about that. Because we are finding this is what duality means. When we talk about duality, the danger of duality is this. From dualism or from this dual thinking, we will see bheda buddhi. Bheda darshita means some ragadvesham will be there inside. So we will think something is good and I like it, and something is bad, I hate it. So ragadvesham develops in that form, that we will see something as good and something as bad. That will remain as a vasana inside. So Krishna's point was that in order to that not to happen, or anything, any object in this world, if you start seeing them as it is separate from Krishna and it has got reality, somewhere the mind will go and get stuck in that. Mind will go and stuck in that. Instead of, if that should not happen, if you don't want that to happen, then the only thing is we have to get inside convinced that everything what we are seeing in this world is nothing but Krishna. All the other, this is what Krishna calls it as Brahmistiri. Brahmistiri means this, that the everything what we are seeing in this world is nothing but Krishna, Krishna's expansions. So, nothing, what it is that even it does not mean that once that stage has come, it means that there is no more attachment and aversion. Attachment and aversion, which are the two major problems, ragam and dvesham. So, it does not mean that you stop all your activities at that point for a person, soul, but say the grandchild came, even if you take the grandchild, the grandfather is feeling attachment to the grandchild, isn't it? So while taking the grandchild, it doesn't mean that he has to stop showing his affection to the grandchild. But while showing his attachment to the grandchild, he should understand that attachment is due to Krishna's presence in that grandchild. If that conscience, with that conscience, if he shows his affection to the grandchild, it won't damage him. In other words, somebody thinks, oh, this is my grandchild, whereas the child from the next door is not my grandchild. There Bheda Buddhi has come already. But if your attachment to your grandchild is on the platform that it is due to Krishna's presence in that child that you have love for that child or feeling of affection for that child, then it won't damage him. Because otherwise Bheda Buddhi will come into that. So that's the point. So, no attachment to anything. Only if we see this speciality in one thing, that something is special, therefore attachment to that. Something is not special, but that is based on the body. It's not based on the soul. So, if we do like that, there will be a problem. That I have attachment for something, I have no attachment for something else. That means I'm finding some speciality in something, isn't it? Something is special for me, something is not special for me. This differentiation must go from inside. Ekanath, he was a great devotee from Maharashtra, Ekanath Swami. Ekanath Swami, his spiritual master was Janardana Swami. Janardana Swami told Ekanath that even if you don't practice samadhi, samadhi state does not come to you, in your vyavaharam, in your dealings with the world, at least understand that everything what you are seeing is Krishna's manifestation. And bring thinking that way, and that is your swarupam, or Krishna swarupam, if you think it like that, and bring it to that samatvam, equality in your mind. Samatvam is what Krishna calls as yogam. Samatva means what? Samatva means that we are not thinking two persons are equal. What we are saying is, because Krishna is present inside, in both, that equality they have. Because of Krishna's presence inside. In other words, in spiritual platform, they are same. They are not different. But on a material level, they may be different. Many differences may be there. If you look into Bhagavad Gita, look into chapter 5, verse 19. This is explained there in the 519. Ihaivadeir jidasargo, esham samye stidam mana, nardosham hi samam brahma, tasmad brahmanite stidaha. Ihaivadeir jidasargo, esham samye stidam mana, nardosham hi samam brahma, tasmad brahmanite stida. Verse 19. Look at the translation. Those whose minds are established in sameness and equanimity have already conquered the conditions of birth and death. They are flawless like Brahman, and they are already situated in Brahman. So what does that equality mean? Equality means not that I am seeing everybody equal. That is not equality. What I am seeing is, it is Krishna who is present in all of them. That is what I am seeing. If you see like that, then that is equality. If Krishna is present in everyone, if I have come convinced and I am experiencing in that way, then that is equality. Not that everybody is equal. Everybody cannot be equal. Because by creation, we all have been given different names, different forms, different karmavasanas, and different places where we are born and different conditions. So equality won't come like that. On a material bodily level, equality won't happen. So what is Krishna saying there is that equality is Krishna's presence in everyone. That we are recognizing and that realization has come to us. That's what that equality is about. Do you understand what I'm saying? That equality is not based on the body. Bodily we are all different. Mentally we are all different. Vasanas are all different. Karmam is different. Our lifespan is different. Everything is different. In external appearances, we are all different. Everything will be different through the senses. But on a spiritual platform, when we recognize that the engine behind everything is the soul, and that soul is Krishna, who is present in everyone, if our consciousness comes to raise to that level of seeing in that way, then equanimity has come, equality has come. That's the point. That is samachittattvam. Krishna says, you will keep talking about this in many places in the Bhagavad Gita, you will see this, that asakti anabhishwanga putradhara grihadishu nityanja samachittattvam ishta anishtopapattishu. That's the verse in the Bhagavad Gita later, 13th or so chapter. Ansakti asakti anabhishwanga putradhara grihadishu, putram, children, dharam, wife, graham, home. In all these things, nityanja samachittattvam. That samachittada. Samachittada means equal vision. That does not mean that you see your wife, the home, the children all in the equal level. That's not what it means. What it means is that samachittada. Samachittada means that all these things in front of me is Krishna's different manifestations. If you see it like that, that is samachittada. If you reach that stage, then there is no possibility of creating any ragam inside. That's the only way you can avoid ragam building up inside. Nityanja samachittattvam. Once you see it that way, the home, the wife, the children, the neighbors, and the rest of the world, all in the same level, if you only see it as Krishna's expansion. Nityanja Samajitatvam Ishta. So Samajitada Samatvam Yogamuchyade. Krishna says in another place in the Bhagavad Gita. This Samatvam stage is Yoga. So in other words, it is mentioned there that how it stays Bhagavad Swarupam or Krishna's presence in everything, wherever one sees anything, and if our minds inside, if we start thinking that is also Krishna's manifestation, then raga dvesham won't be there. Then raga dvesham won't be there. I know it looks very theoretical, all these things, isn't it? It becomes very theoretical for us because our world and realized soul's world are two different worlds. Krishna will talk about this later, some other verses. And we are used to our world of senses and the mind. This is the world we are living in. And they are living in the soul of realized state. They don't see our world and we don't see their world. That's the problem here. So, yatra yatra manoyadi brahmana tatra darshanam. In other words, everywhere we see something, immediately it should be seen as Brahman or Krishna's expansion. When we see someone who is close to us, whom we like, somebody, in other words, and then we say, oh, they are our people. We say like that, isn't he? He's our man. He's my man, or he's our man. Or somebody else, oh, he's not from our group. He's from another world. All these kind of things, where is it coming from? That somebody who has done something, some help to you, you feel some gratitude towards him. And somebody has not done anything, then you feel, leave him alone. Or nothing to do with him. This attitude. So, or someone who is wealthy, you have an affinity towards him. Or somebody who is beautiful. So, in all these things, there is something coming from inside. What is that prompts us to develop an attachment for him? Actually, that attachment is coming from the soul. Attachment is coming from the soul. This feeling of love, mercy, and attachment, and things like that, these emotions cannot come from dead matter. From dead matter. We think it is coming from the mind, isn't it? Or it's coming from the our body. But actually it is not. It is coming from the soul. This, when you see something, if you have some feeling for that person, that feeling is coming from the soul. Priyam it is called. In Shastram the word used is Priyam. Priyam. if we understand this tattvam, that Priyam is the thing. And Priyam, what happens is, when we have that Priyam, the vasanas come and mixes with that and turns that Priyam into some objects and not to some other objects. It gives a twist to that. So when the Priyam comes from inside, actually the Priyam is there to everything. But it is the vasanas that put a shadow over it and makes us think that, oh, that person is... So, if you have no ragadvesham, the priyam will be to equally to everyone and everything in this world. There will be priyam to everything in the absence of ragadvesham. But when ragadvesham is there, it goes away. So, this is... from this we can understand that bhakti is also like that. Bhakti is these emotions, isn't it? This what is coming from the soul. That means the love for someone, or the mercy to somebody, or respect to someone, these good qualities, these are all actually a part of bhakti. So bhakti is sahajam. That means this is only coming from the, it can only happen in that way, that when we recognize this, it will not stay in the dead matter. On dead matter, these feelings won't happen. Which feelings? Love, compassion and mercy, or the emotions like that, cannot happen to dead matter. It can only happen towards Krishna. Krishna is present in someone. That is why we are feeling that love for that person. That we don't know. We are thinking that I am loving that person's body. But actually it is not. Actually that love which is manifesting when you see a person who is dear to you, that feeling is going towards Krishna inside that person. Rukmini said this to Krishna in her letter. If you remember that letter which Rukmini wrote before the marriage, in that letter Rukmini says that, is it not that the love everyone has in this world to somebody else is not from you that is coming and is not going towards you? So you can see there that we misunderstood that I love somebody, I am thinking that the love is directed towards that body. But actually it is not so. The love is towards the Krishna's presence inside. That is why you feel that love towards that person at that point. Priyam. This is called Priyam. And this cannot happen to dead matter. You cannot love dead matter. This will not happen. And we give speciality to things like wealth, beauty, and we consider somebody is good, somebody is bad. And we are succeeded in throwing away this speciality from inside. Then we will see as Krishna is present. Krishna is present inside. Bhagavat Swarupam. That means when we start thinking, misunderstanding this is, that when you are feeling some love for someone, or a feeling of compassion, or feeling of attachment, or anything towards someone, actually it is coming for Krishna. It is Krishna's presence that is creating that inside us. But due to, when we start, because of this specialities inside, what we have developed, due to wealth, or due to beauty, or due to strength, or whatever that is, those qualities, we start giving speciality to that, then this point we miss at that time, that the love is flowing towards Krishna. To Krishna's presence in another person, that is why the love is going towards him. In all relationships in this world, it is like that. But misunderstanding comes that a young man gets attracted to a young girl and start thinking that girl's beauty is what is attracting him. That is where the mistake happens. Actually, the love, if he is feeling towards that girl, is only coming towards because of Krishna's presence in that body. That's what is causing that. But we lose that and we misunderstand it as the beauty. That is the speciality there. Similarly, if you see a very wealthy person, if you have some feeling for him, but actually the feeling is not towards the wealth, it is towards that Krishna's presence in that person. In that way, in everything, wherever we find any speciality, we must immediately think that speciality is due to Krishna's presence in that person and not due to the wealth, beauty or fame or whatever that is, which we are falsely attributing to that. It's a falsely we attribute to that it is due to his wealth or beauty or fame or strength or whatever that is the speciality in that person. We think that we are feeling towards him, that we feel this respect or love or whatever it is. But actually it is not so. It is only due to Krishna's presence in that person that you can love and respect and feel all these emotions towards another living entity. So if that happens, if you have developed this understanding, that is bhakti. That is bhakti. That anywhere, anyone, if any we see, and if you are feeling the same respect to everyone, irrespective of who it is, irrespective of their bodily identity, if you are feeling that, or the presence of Krishna inside, and feeling that love towards him, that is bhakti. So that means that suppose a grandchild has come, now that I have studied all Vedantam, I won't show any affection towards him. That's not what it means. It means that even while showing your affection to the child, if you are conscious that this feeling of love towards their child is happening because of Krishna's presence inside, then that love is not on the bodily platform. That's bhakti. On the other hand, if you are feeling happiness by patting the child and enjoying with the child, and completely on a bodily platform, not seeing Krishna's presence inside that child, then it's not bhakti. Bhakti is when we recognizing in every relationship Krishna's presence. Only then it is bhakti. Otherwise it's not bhakti. So, when you see that Your grandchild has come, you feeling attached to it. But another child of the same age from the next door comes and you say, oh, it's not my child, I don't have to bother, leave him alone. In that mood, if it is coming, it means that bhakti hasn't come inside. There's no bhakti inside. It's purely on the bodily platform. Important thing to remember that all these emotions are coming from inside and it is directed towards Krishna. It is because of Krishna's presence in another living entity that if the vasanas have gone away from inside, ragadosham has gone away from inside, on an equal level, we will see our love will go equally to all the living entities in this world. All the living entities in this world. And it will turn into bhakti. So, important point is this yoga sadhana. This sadhana is to be practiced. even while chanting the holy name, even while we are chanting the holy name, there is a great tamasa inside, tamogunam inside, which is covering us. And it is staying there like a screen, which is made of this raga dvesham. This is all part of the tamogunam inside. Tyagaraja Swamiji, he went to Tirupati. And in Tirupati temple, while standing in front of the deity was covered with a screen in the front. So there is a famous song he wrote from the, he sang, glorifying Ramachandra there. With that song, the curtain opened and Ramachandra appeared in front of him. It's a very famous situation that happened. He says there that I have this coverage, this curtain in front of me. I can't see you. And this curtain, what he says is that is made of this pride, envy, jealousy and so many other things. And that is covering the soul. Will you not remove that for me? When he sang that, the curtain opened straight away. And in Shivananda Lahari, there is a verse there which takes like this, that Dhyanajayena samaveshaya tamapradesham vitvamaham velivirishwara nama mantraihi divyashridam bhujagabhushanam udvahanti e padavatma vihade shivade kridartha. Then Dhyananjanena, that says here that if in meditation or with our deep absorption in this, if you carefully look inwards, you will see there is a coverage of the soul of ignorance. Ignorance covering the soul, not allowing the soul to manifest. And only way to penetrate through that curtain is by chanting the holy name. By continuously chanting the holy name, that we have to remove that curtain of ignorance, what is covering the soul. Once that coverage is removed, then you will experience thousands of sun rising up there, and that illumination that happens, or the experience of the soul will happen to him. So in order that this ragadvesham to go, which is in the form of these different base qualities, we have to chant the holy name. There is no other alternative. That's why sadhana you cannot give up at any stage. It has to go on till you feel all the vasanas are completely wiped out from inside. That is why we have to chant the holy name. That in this process, that these emotions, like these, and emotions means this bad qualities like kamam, krodham, lobham, moham, madam, matsaryam. These are the enemies, isn't it? So these qualities, in order that they go away from inside, which is in the form of tamogunam covering the soul, unless they go away, the soul cannot manifest in its pure form. So therefore, it says here that by chanting the holy name, it says here that just by chanting the holy name, vitvamaham velivirishwara nama mantraihi, simply by chanting the holy name, this will get removed. It won't go otherwise. It is going to stay there. So, in that state, one will realize the truth. And what is actually causing a problem there is this duality inside. Duality has come from because of this ragadvesham inside. That is important. Why do we feel the duality in this world? Because of ragadvesham inside. Always remember that our world and the world of the transcendentalists are two different worlds. They live in one world, we live in another world. We live in the world of senses, mind and sense gratification. They live in the world of self-realization and on the world of Krishna's world, which is different. So, when we are dealing with this world, at the same time, because of this duality, the mind will have gone and got stuck with so many things in this world. It must have gone and stuck with various things. That's why we remember we mentioned about this, not to feel sticking towards anything, how important it is. And in order to remove that as a sadhana, this Sarvatma Bhavam. Sarvatma Bhavam means to see Krishna in everything. That was spoken. The solution to that problem is to see Krishna in everything, so that it doesn't stick anywhere. Sticking is due to this speciality what we found in certain things, isn't it? In certain people or certain objects, there is some speciality we have found. And that is why the mind started sticking to that. In order that the sticking should give up, go away, the solution was given that see Krishna in everything as Krishna's present in that. Once we see Krishna's present, then it will not stick. It will not stick to that. While the senses are operating in this world, in order to see without any speciality, one has to see whatever, everything what we see is Krishna. Everything what we hear is also Krishna. And everything we taste is Krishna. And everything we touch is Krishna. So in other words, all the five senses in its dealing with the, while it is executing, performing vyavaharam in this world, we have to see it as Krishna. So that is the perfectional stage, where no more differences between one to another. Everything on a spiritual platform, in other words. So if it is done, raga dvesham will go. Without raga dvesham, if we enjoy the sense objects through the senses, then the chittam inside, the mind will always remain in a very peaceful and pleasant state. Peaceful and pleasant state. Not in any particular sense, the mind will go after it. Not through any particular sense, it will go at. So, therefore, this particular words, what we read now, which is indriyam, indriyanam hi charadam, yan manonu vidhiyade, tad asya haradi prajnyam vayurnava mivambasi. Krishna told us the problem. Problem is this, that the even mind goes through one sense towards the world outside, immediately you will fall from that state. So, tasya asu haradip, your prajna or transcendental intelligence you will lose. So, in order that not to happen, our connection with the world outside should be such that we must have developed this samatva bhavam in everything. Equal vision in everything. Equal vision in the sense, recognizing that everything is Krishna's expansions in this world. Everything. So there will be no speciality towards anything, because everything is Krishna. So there is no speciality to one to another, isn't it? Speciality is only due to ragadvesham inside, that we find something is right and something is wrong, something is good, something is bad, all these things. So when that realization is there and Krishna is doing everything in this world, where is the question of we taking any ownership then? There is no question of us taking any ownership. This is surrender. When we have not surrendered to Krishna, then only our planning starts. We want to change the world. We want to save the world. We want to rectify this. We want to rectify that. But if there is proper surrender inside, recognizing that it is Krishna who is doing everything through the material nature, it is Krishna who is present in everything, in everyone. And when things are going wrong, suddenly we start, this is duality, that somebody needs attention, we have to help him. Somewhere else we are going and killing people. And then how do you justify all these things? On a material platform, you can never free yourself from the duality. Only if you are in the spiritual platform, you can see that everything is recognizing, that everything is Krishna is behind everything. That recognition has to come inside. So when we have no spiritual realization, we will act from a material platform. And that's what you find all the time. Isn't it? Majority of the people are absorbed in this. That's why Prabhupada mentions that these charity organizations, there is many in this world. There are a lot of people who are already doing it. People are queuing up in that business. We don't have to get involved. That's not our business. That's what Prabhupada is saying. Our business is to understand what Krishna has taught us and to live in that way. That's the only way you can make spiritual progress. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. And Krishna is saying to us that Vayurnavam Ivambhasi, that even if your mind goes after something thinking that is special and I have to take you priority to that than this, immediately you have developed that duality there, thinking that this requires attention, that requires attention, something else don't require attention. Who are we to make that decision? If Krishna is controlling this world and running this show very well, as he thinks is right, so we have no control on these issues. It is not our concern at all. So, tasmad, if you look in the next verse, this tasmad, as I mentioned, is Krishna's most favorite word. But tasmad, Krishna doesn't speak the way we have some favorite words, isn't it? Our favorite words, sometimes you see people will say, some people have this nature, when they talk, they'll keep using the same word again and again, you know? You must have noticed that. You know, as you said, they'll keep saying this, as you said, you know, as you know. They keep saying this. This tasmad is not spoken that way. It's not that Krishna is speaking in that way. Once it so happened that somebody, he has this nature of saying, you know, as you said, you keep saying this, as you said, everything, every sentence will be as you said, he will say like this. So one day he says that, you know, I resigned my job, as you said, you know, he said like that. So you get the impression that you have told him to resign the job and come home. So somebody else, there were other two people, they were also looking and they were saying that I've told him to resign the job and go home. So afterwards they understood that this person has this habit of saying everything he says as you said, you know. So it was like that. This tasmad, what Krishna is saying, is not like that. Krishna's tasmad is with full of gravity and full of knowledge behind it. So here he says here, text 68. Let's have a look at that. Tasmad yasya mahabaho. Nigrahitani sarvasha indriyan indriyarthebhya tasya prajna pratishtitaha tasmad yasya mahabaho nigrahitani sarvasha indriyan indriyarthebhya tasya prajna pratishtita. Translation. Therefore, O mighty arm, one whose senses are restrained from their objects is certainly of steady intelligence. One whose senses are restrained from their objects is certainly of steady intelligence. Tasmat yasya mahabaho nigrahidani sarvasha indriyan indriyarthebhyo tasya prajna pratishtita. So, tasmat, therefore, because the mind has to become steady, and because we want to make advancement in the yoga system, and because we want to go back to Krishna, and because the senses are always very flickering in nature, and because they have to come under our control, Krishna says, tasmat. Therefore, tasmad. That is the reason what tasmad is. That. So tasmad is not like the other way we consider repetition of words. This tasmad is because of all these things. What are they? We want to have our mind steady. we want to have achieve perfection in the yoga, yogam, and we want to go back to Krishna, and we want to, we know that the senses are the disturbances in there, and they have to come under our control. All because of that, tasmad yasya mahabaho nigrihidani sarvasha. Indriyani indriyarthebhya. In other words, in one of the senses, even one of them receives any attention, it will disturb the peace of the mind. It will disturb the mind. And it will move us away from the yoga sadhana, from the yoga state. Therefore, one who has brought all the senses under control, or is able to, one who is controlling all his senses under control, in moderation, in other words, then and keeping all his senses without allowing them to go into sense enjoyment and keeping them under his control, his yoga or his shanti will always be very steady. It will not get disturbed, and he will go back to Krishna. Therefore, in all stages, he is an advanced devotee. He is an advanced person. So, this verses in the Bhagavad Gita, what we have discussed now, is in Bhagavadam also. But Bhagavadam, Krishna puts it in a different way to Uddhava. How does Krishna say there? Krishna says there, Nirapeksham munim shandam, nirvairam samadarshinam, anubrajami aham nityam, puyeye tyangri renubhi. Krishna says such a devotee is very, very dear to me. In the sense, nirapeksham. Nirapeksham means he has no desire. Absolutely nothing. Completely free from all desires. Nirabeksham. Munim. Muni means thoughtful. One who is doing mananam, he is muni. Mananal dhyayade muni, it says. One who is doing mananam, he is a muni. Not muni is not someone who is very maunam. Silence is not only the qualification of a muni. We are supposed to become muni. Muni means not silence, just keeping quiet. But one who is doing mananam inside, he is a muni. Mananal dhyayade muni. Due to mananam, that ability to reflect on things and absorb deeply in different spiritual discussions, in different topics discussed in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam, that is mananam. So mananam is a quality important, very important quality for a person, introspective sage, Krishna calls it. Isn't it? The next verse, Krishna is talking about that. So, mananam is the thing which makes muni. So, one who is a muni, Krishna, nirabeksham munim shandam. Only a muni will have shandi inside. Why? Because through reflection, he has come to that perfection of peace inside. Vasanas have left him. Shandam. Nurvairam. The result of that, he has no enmity towards anyone, anybody in this world. Samadarshinam, equal vision. Equal vision how? Because he is reading, Krishna is present in everyone. Niravaksham, no desires, no prayers to Krishna to give me this or give me that or any such thing. Whatever that happens, Krishna is doing that. Perfect with, okay with me, I have no complaint about anything anymore. Niravaksham, muni, always very reflective in thoughts. Shandam, fully peaceful. Nurvairam, no enemy towards anyone. Samadarshinam, equal vision towards all entities. Anubrajami aham nityam. Such a devotee, Krishna is saying, I will follow him. I have to follow him. Krishna says, Puyeye tyangri renubhi. By following him, that perfection in that, let that happen to me. Krishna says, I'll take the dust from his feet and put it on my head. This is Krishna's statement in the Bhagavadam to Uddhava. So you can see from this, what it means is, that is how much Krishna considers that person as worthy of respect. A person who has reached this state. So you can see from Krishna's point of view what Krishna gives importance to. These are the things Krishna gives importance. Not anything else. Nirabeksham, Muni, Shandam, Nirvairam, Samadarshinam. These are the qualities of a devotee. first class devotee. And one has reached that stage, Krishna is not saying that whatever anything else you have done in this world, they are not the important things. If this stage you have reached, then Krishna says, I'll follow him. I will follow him. So, that means a devotee who doesn't desire anything. He has no desires inside. He has no desires inside. Always in meditation, dhyanam. Dhyanam means not the meditation of the yogis. This is the meditation that jnanis, Krishna is referring to. That means constantly reflecting on things. And shandam nurvairam, and no hate towards samadarshinam, and seeing Krishna in everyone. Seeing Krishna in everyone. And the same thing, if you look into Kavi Maharshi's, Hari Maharshi's words to Navayogis, he will also say the same thing. What he said? Sarva bhudeshu yapashyed bhagavad bhavam atmana bhudani bhagavatyesha savai bhagavadottama. It is the perfect definition of a first class devotee. Perfect definition of a first class devotee. That sarva bhudeshu yapashyed, in all living entities, bhagavad bhavam, he is seeing only Bhagavad Bhavam, as seeing as Krishna is present there in that body. And Bhagavad Bhavam Almana. Bhudani Bhagavati Esha. In all living entities, who is staying inside is also Krishna. Bhudani Bhagavati Esha. Savai Bhagavadottama. He is the first class Bhagavad devotee who is come to that level of realization and who is living in that. Who lives in this world in that way. That is the perfection. There are three types of devotees mentioned in the Bhagavadam, isn't it? One, Uttama Bhagavadam, Uttamadhyayi, Madhyamadhyayi, Kanishadhyayi. So, Uttamadhyayi's qualities is what this is spoken. Then the Madhyamadhyayi is mentioned there, and the Kanishadhyayi is also. Kanishadhyayi is the one who is only absorbed in the deity worship, without developing any of these qualities, simply busy with the deity worship and thinking that that is a perfection. That is Kanishta's mood. Mood is like that. The Uttamadhyayi's mood is always developing these higher qualities inside. That is, Uttamadhyayi will have them. Not the Kanishadhyayi's mood is always in the deity worship, stuck with that lifelong. Won't have any other transcendental qualities in them developing. So, that's what mentioned there. So, from this you can see, the symptom of a devotee is that he has complete control over his senses. And this is the same point Krishna mentioned to us when we started discussing Sthita Prajnatvam, if you remember. Sthitapratnyasya bhasha samadhistasya keshava. Arjuna asked this question, isn't it? What is the symptom of a person who is in sthitapratnyato stage? Sthitapratnya stage. Immediate answer from Krishna was prajahadi yadakaman sarvan parthamanogadan. The first qualification for him is he has no desire. It says sarvan parthamanogadan. No desire at all. That is the best symptom you can talk about a sthitapratnya. When Arjuna asked the question, the first answer from Krishna was, Prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partha manogadan. If you remember that verse, the immediate answer from Krishna when Arjuna asked, Sthita Prajna Sega Bhasha, Samadhista Sekeshava. So, the second chapter, you will get a lot of clear idea from the what is going through Krishna's thoughts when Krishna is saying these things. Arjuna asked the question, Sthita Prajna Sega Bhasha, Samadhista Sekeshava. What is the nature of a person who is sthitapratnya? Sthitapratnya means one who has the transcendental intelligence steady and situated in that state all the time. Samadhi state. Samadhistasya keshava. So in reply to that, Krishna is saying, prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partha manogadan. That one who has prajahadi yada kaman, all material, all desires have gone away from him. He has no desires inside. Then, Atmanyev Atmana Tushta. He is completely fixed in the soul. So from that, that's our point here again, that he has no desire. In other words, mind will not go and stick to anything. Initially, we our mind stick to so many things. Through deity worship, through meditation, through japam, chanting the holy name, we have to remove all those things from inside. All that attachment to rest of the things in this world, by attaching to deity worship, chanting the holy name, and meditation process, we have to come out of our attachment to the other things in this world. Afterwards, even this attachment will go from us. Because otherwise what will happen is, sometimes you can see this in some people, that they think that this is the goal. They doing this puja is the goal every day. It becomes their routine thing for them, that they have to do it. And at the old age, when you are not able to do it, they become very disturbed. So, I couldn't do my deity worship today. Why is that? Because if they had understood it through philosophy, Krishna consciousness, this would not happen. When you don't understand it through philosophically, understand Krishna consciousness, it simply becomes a routine thing. Quite often you will find this with old people who have practiced a spiritual life, either in the process of in the process of deity worship, even chanting the holy name. That you have chanted holy name when your body and mind and health was there. But it can happen one day when we leave the body, or you get some sick, serious illness, and you are not able to do it. So at that time you are lamenting, oh, I couldn't chant my rounds, I couldn't chant my 16 rounds today. That also is not a good thing, because they are there to get your attachment away from this world. But proper attachment to Krishna, once it has developed inside, even these desires like this even will leave you. Even to do these kind of things will also leave you. They are all part of sadhana. They are not sadhyam. Sadhyam is the goal. Sadhana is the process. Process is necessary to get to the goal. But if we get stuck with the process, not remembering the goal, then we are lost there. Isn't it? So, sadhana and sadhyam are different. So, that's the point Krishna is saying here. That the prajahadi yadakaman sarvan partha manogadan. This, all desires have gone away from inside, only then the mind will become peaceful. Suppose you have a little desire inside to chant one round, then the mind won't be peaceful. Again the mind will become start working, coming into operation. So you can see there that once that peace has come inside, then continuously that soul will show its beauty. Happiness will come from the derive from the soul. But as long as you are thinking, I have got something to do in this world, I have got something to, some commitment I have in this world to fulfill, that means you are still on the level of me and my duty. My duty. Hangaram is operating there. As soon as you think you have something to do, false ego will wake up straight away. Oh, I have to do that. This will come out. So with this understanding, if we chant the holy name, it's good. That holy name we are chanting for, not that I'm doing it as a duty, I've been told to do it as a duty, but chanting come to that stage when we see that, let this chanting purify my consciousness inside and free me myself from this, praying to Krishna that all these base qualities, what I have in me, kama, krodha, lobha, moham, madam, alsaryam, all these things, if they move away from me so that I can see Krishna, that I can experience that Krishna is inside, and with that intention, if it is chanted, then it won't have that problem. Otherwise, if I make it as a duty every day 16 rounds, when we are not able to chant 16 rounds, you will be in terrible distress at that day when it happens. And it can happen to anyone, isn't it? So, such persons who have started experiencing the soul, they won't be going around telling that I am Brahman or I am realized or anything. There is no need for that. Because as soon as they start saying like that, the false ego will pop up again. And as long as he's saying that, the individual personality, Vyakti Bodham, hangaram falls ego will come out. But once whose chittam inside has completely surrendered and personality has completely gone away from inside, he will experience is simply this experience of the soul. And for him, he is not going to lose it again. Once he has come to that state, he is not going to lose it again, because individuality of this ego has completely gone away from inside. Ahangaram has completely left him. Only that there are in situations like that, for highly realized souls, this has happened. So, and that too mostly happens through bhakti. How people will become self-realized, it's very difficult to say, as I mentioned before many times, that it can happen anywhere in the world, in any traditions. It's not that it's only limited to one tradition or the other. We have to see the whole. Krishna gives the examples from among the demons, among the rakshasas and all that. But even leaving aside that, even within this world today, even among Hindus, Muslims, Christians, Jews, in any society, this can happen to anybody. It can happen. It's not limited to anyone. That depends on that person, what vasanas he has brought with him, and how seriously he is pursuing that process. And it can happen to anyone. That is very difficult to judge anyone on that platform. It's very difficult to judge that. There was a story about a Muslim fakir. He belonged to the Sufi tradition, and the ruler, the Sultan, followed his religion strictly. The Sufi Muslim, he was living according to his realizations. So there's a big difference there, isn't it? Sultan was implementing the law, what he learned from the book. And he was living on that basis. He was administering the country. The Sufi personality, he was living on his realizations. He has developed bhakti somehow inside, and his perfection has come to him. This realization has happened to him. So how it has happened, it's very difficult to answer that, because that jiva must have had that vasana inside very strongly from previous lives. Somehow he got this birth, and in that birth it came up further and developed into that state. So when the Sultan, when Anahul Haq, that's what they say, the Sufis, they say that I am realized that truth, and he was in joy, great joy. So when he started speaking like that, on a level of the Sultan, it was an offensive statement to somebody to come and stay like that. So the Sultan ordered that you should beat him up with their way of punishment, with the caning. So somebody was sent to cane him because of this statement what he has made, Anahul Haq, which is a statement that is against their faith. The faith is not completely in agreement with this realization. That's the problem. That sometimes realization are there, which is different than the faith, what we have been taught in the schools and colleges and or in the religious institutions. So this person, he was so realized that the Sultan could not understand him. So he told him, he was implementing his law on him. So when he was beaten up, he was singing further. He kept on singing this. What he has realized, he was singing. So Sultan got more upset. So he sent his soldiers to cut his hand. So he had this one instrument called ektar. That means he had only one string on that. And he used to sing on this instrument, is all his realization, sitting underneath the tree. And in great joy, he was dancing there. So the Sultan thought, this person is not following our law, what we have established. So he sends his soldiers to cut his hand off. They cut his hand off, still he wouldn't stop. He kept on singing. And after a while, the soldiers have gone there, they've also started singing with him. The impact of that person's spiritual consciousness on him was that they also started singing. So eventually Sultan himself goes there to implement the law. Even after all this has happened, Sultan hasn't learned anything. So Sultan decided to cut his head off, because he won't give up easily. So he cuts his head off, and even at that time, the voice was in the air, that Sultan also started dancing along with that, with the music that was in the air, which he has left behind. So, transcendental realization, that realized souls, their world is different than our world. That is a very important thing to know that. Because when we are performing sadhana in this world, we are thinking that with this sadhana and with this state of consciousness, we will reach to spirituality. Isn't it? Spiritual state. But spiritual world and spiritual realization is a different world altogether. Altogether it's a different world. And we have no entry there at the moment. We are in the sadhana stage. So in sadhana stage, what happens? We try to think that if I can become a first class devotee in this state where I am operating in that consciousness, isn't it? I don't want anything else to happen, disturb my present life. And in this very life, I like to be like this and also become spiritually advanced. But once you see those who are self-realized, they are living in a totally different world. And we find difficult to understand that world. That is why Krishna is saying here that when one has realized this and the realization has become very solid inside. In other words, the realization of that soul, if that is very strong inside, then nothing will affect him, that person. What we do to him, it has no impact on that person. Because what is left behind in that person is only his realization, nothing else. Not the body, not the mind, not the intelligence. It's only the realization that is left behind. King Janaka mentioned this. He says, even if the whole Mithila gets burned down, even if this body die, completely gets destroyed, this experience or this realization will become stronger in me. He said that when the body goes away, it becomes stronger. And one who is liberated, Jivan Mukta, who is in that stage, for him, the body dropping away is auspicious for him. For a person who has reached that state, he's only waiting for the body to drop. We are all trying to protect the body. Isn't it? Our life is centered around only this one thing, how to protect this body. Fully knowing very well that it will go, still we think if we can keep it somehow for some more time going. This is the bodily understanding. Realized persons, they are waiting for the body to drop. Big difference, isn't it? Big difference between our way of thinking and their way of thinking. Actually, it is a big difficulty in our life that so much conditioned in this body and our attachment to this world, and then we are trying to enter into a world which is totally opposite to all these things. That's where all this problem is. That's why we give up after a while and go. We realize that it's not possible. So then we think that what's the point anyway? This life is finished now. There's nothing I can do about it. That's where that state of desperation comes. When you don't know these differences, then you are very enthusiastic in the beginning. First 6 months, initiation done, got the name, as we say, gone, done, got all the things, got the t-shirt, and done with everything. After the 6 months, when you start opening your eyes and start seeing what a long journey that is, then everything is finished at that point. So, King Janaka says like this. So, what is Krishna's pointing out is that by controlling the senses, we have the fear all the time. Oh, I won't be able to enjoy life anymore. This is another fear also comes at that point. So, I've lost all my happiness in life. And whatever little happiness I was having till now, that's also gone. And this unknown world of spirituality, I can't enter there. Nobody's letting me in there. So, you're stuck in that situation. This is our main problem, major problem is that. Then what happens? We argue each other. What is the right thing? What's the wrong thing? In this, your argument goes on. And then we get absorbed in developing the institution, gets busy with the institution so much. that because we don't know what else to do in spiritual life. We have got stuck there. We don't go to further than that. So then we get busy with the institution. We think, oh, if we get the institution right, everything will be all right. But nothing will be all right with that. It's only all right when we change inside. So Krishna is saying here that by controlling the senses, he says, you are not going to lose your happiness. Happiness, what you are going to receive from the soul, is on a much higher quality and a higher level. So therefore, sarvado badram, it is not, nothing is lost at that point. So, and in order to give us a little more understanding of this, Krishna spoke the most famous verse in that chapter. Next one. Yanisha sarva bhudanam tasyam jagarti samyami yasyam jagrati bhudani sanisha pasyado muni yanisha sarva bhudanam tasyam jagarti samyami yasyam jagrati bhudani sanisha pasyato muni. Translation. What is night for all beings is the time of awakening for the self-controlled. And the time of awakening for all beings is night for the introspective stage, introspective sage. Everybody likes this verse, isn't it? Yeah, that's right. Very difficult to understand. Not only that, there's more interesting thing from this verse. Many people think, now that I am become a devotee, I belong to that stage. That's where the biggest problem is. Which one? This introspective. We are all the introspective stages. The karmis, they are not. They are on the other side. We are thinking like that. Because grammatically, if you take that verse, meaning that when the karmis are sleeping, we are awake. Isn't it? Which is true also. When they are all sleeping, we are awake. When we are sleeping, they are awake as well. So, that also causes problem in this particular verse. So, yanisha sarva bhudanam tasyam jagarti samyami yasyam jagrati bhudani sa nisha pasyato muni. Krishna is saying, yanisha sarva bhudanam, what is night for all the living entities? If you take the grammatical meaning, it will come out like this, that others' daytime is night for the yogi. Yeah? Others' daytime is night for the yogi. And yogi's daytime is night for others. This will be the actual meaning, if you grammatically take that. But as I mentioned before, that Krishna speaks everything in a subtle way. Because the subtlest topic is also very subtle. And Krishna likes to speak in this kind of language, parocham. Parocha means, parochavado vedoyam balanam anishasanam. The reason for that is, Krishna's point is, one who is serious about spiritual life, he will inquire. He has the nature to inquire in him. He is wanting that. Spiritually, he wants it. So he will find out. And those who don't want it, even if you tell them, they won't take it. So because of that, Krishna is saying that if I speak things in a parocha way, parocha means in a indirect way, people love it. Reason is that they will know that when they realize it, there is beauty in that. They experience a joy from that, when they understand the statements from Krishna. So parochavado, Vedam is full of parocham. All statements are paroksham. Balanam anushasanam. From the point of view of sages, we are children. We are children who have no spiritual realization. We are considered as children, not based on our body, based on our spiritual growth. They consider us children. So while instructing children, it is better to speak in this paroksha way. Because if we know that something is valuable, if you have genuine desire, you will get it at the end. You won't lose it. But if you have no genuine desire, if you say some things to some people, what will happen is they'll make a mockery of it. They'll make a mockery of it. In other words, they'll say, Krishna says this thing, what does he know? So best thing Krishna says, better they don't understand it. Leave them to themselves. Those who are not serious about spiritual life. So here, what Krishna is saying here is that, Yanisha sarvabhudanam tasyam jagarti samyame. If you read that verse, you will think, yogis have got night duty. And we all have work in the daytime. This is how you can interpret that verse, isn't it? The direct meaning, if you take it that way, that's how it will come out. They are all on the security job, and we are all on the in our day we are working. So that's not what it means. So when everybody is sleeping, he is awake, and everyone is awake, he is sleeping. So it can also mean that the yogis don't have much sleep; they are short of sleep, isn't it? That way, if you look at it, all of them, yogi, bogi, rogi, drohi, all of them cannot sleep for various reasons. Remember, we mentioned this the other day. Yogi is the one who eats once. Bogi is the one. twice. Rogi, thrice. And drohi, four times. So all of them cannot sleep at night. None of them can sleep at night, isn't it? Yogi is not sleeping at night because of the transcendental life. Rogi cannot sleep because he is sick. Bogi cannot sleep because he is busy with sense enjoyment. And Drohi cannot sleep because he is thinking about giving trouble to somebody else. So, all of them are not sleeping at night. Neither yogi, bogi, rogi, drohi. None of them can sleep at night. So, it is not that stay understanding that this verse is spoken. This verse is not spoken in that way. This verse is bringing completely a different picture. And if you listen carefully, it is nice to understand this verse in the sense that you can see the two worlds I am talking about. One world we are living. What is that world? I mentioned ragam dvesham, kartrutvam boktrutvam, sense enjoyment. This is our world, isn't it? Nothing else. We don't know anything else. Sense enjoyment goes on all the time. In middle, there is ragadvesham, kartrutva boktrutvam. All this is a part of our world. Of course, sense enjoyment is not always mentioned as such because ragadvesham, I told you, sense enjoyment is gross. Ragadvesham, kartrutva boktrutvam is subtle. Ragadvesha, kartrutva boktrutvam is coming from sense enjoyment. So, our world is this, ragadvesham, kartrutva boktrutvam. Yogis' world, who have gone in transcendental realization, their world is totally different. Absence of all these things. That's their world. So, here, if you look into this world, that here mentioned about day and night, isn't it? Day and night is nisha. Nisha is the night. And jagrati state, the vacant state, Krishna is mentioned here, tasyam jagrati samyami. So, we'll go into this verse slowly. The thing Krishna is saying here is there is time which is based on day and night. Normally, time is calculated based on day and night, isn't it? Clock we have created later. Prior to that, time was measured in terms of day and night. So, on the time concept, in the concept of time, there is only night and day. Only night and day. And all other things we have created. For example, the hour basis, minutes, seconds and all that. For convenience sake, we have created in our daily life. So that we can function in an orderly way. So therefore we have created that ourselves. But from a transcendental viewpoint, there is only day and there is only night. Day and night. So, actually we saw before, we discussed this, time is nothing but a brahman. Brahman means it's a kind of an illusion of the mind. time is nothing but an illusion of the mind, isn't it? But because we are, like for example, I mentioned this, we have time here based on the sunrise and sunset. That's how we call it day and night, isn't it? Then on that basis, we have divided the time into 24 hours a day and night together, 12 hours day, 12 hours night, and then we have divided that into hourly basis and minutes and seconds and all that. For our convenience sake, we have created. You go to the sun planet where there is no day and night, how will you classify the time there? It's not possible, isn't it? It's not possible to classify the time in the sun planet based on this principle, because there is no day and night there. That's one. Secondly, so that shows that time is only limited to this planet where we are living, in the way we are calculating the time at the moment. Similarly also, we discussed this before, the time we break into three, past, present and the future. Past, present and the future. Now, this past, present and future also has no meaning, because as soon as I speak something, it has become past straight away. And therefore, I cannot recreate that past again back into present. It cannot, it's gone with that. It will never come back again. So, strictly speaking, this thing called past has no existence. It's gone. It's gone with, once for all, it's gone. It won't come back. So, we can't talk about past. It's meaningless talking about past. Future is concerned, it's all imagination in us, what will happen in the future. Basically, what we are doing is, with this instrument called the mind, we are interpreting the past, and that is called the future. The future, what we are talking about, is nothing but an interpretation of the past with the mind. So, this mind is swinging between past and the future, past and the future. But in reality, there is only one thing that is present, what we are doing at this right at this moment. Every moment, if it is like that, if you live in the present, you live in spiritual life. But if you start thinking that I will do something later when I retire and all that, that is an imagination in the mind. That's all. It has no meaning than that. It has no meaning than that. This body is here with us right now. We have certain intelligence, we have certain capacity to do something. When it is there, if you do it, you got it. Thinking that you are planning for the future, it may not happen. Because future is unknown. Future is unknown. Past is gone. What you only got is the present. Present, what you do, that's what it matters. In spiritual life, it is like that. What you do now, that's what matters. Not what you will do in the future or what has happened in the past. That is gone. So, because of that, the concept of time is such that past and future has no value. Only what matters is the present. So, that is why this wonderful verse has to be seen in the background of that. In the background of that. So, therefore, while talking about Krishna, who is beyond time and beyond space also. Sandranandava Bodhatmakam. Bodhatmakam is Krishna. Bodham means consciousness. What remains all the time, in the past, in the present, in the future, and it will always remain, is this consciousness, which is soul. Soul inside, which in the form of consciousness is the only reality. Time is not a reality because you don't know what time is about. How do you measure this time? For convenience sake, we have got this day, night and 24 hours and all other arrangements we have. But on an absolute level, we have to leave this. It has no value. So, Sandranandava Bodhatmakam, Anandam Avabhodam. These are Krishna's two nature. Anandam is full of bliss all the time. Avabhodam is full of consciousness, the chit potency. And eternal. Of course eternal. Naturally eternal. These two things are always eternal. Which one? Anandam and Avabhodam. Anandam means bliss. Avabhodam means consciousness. Chitta. Satta, Chitta, Anandam, isn't it? So Chitta and Anandam is always existing and is eternal. Therefore, even if you don't mention eternal, it is understood. Even if Satta is not mentioned, if you mention Chitta and Anandam, it is to be understood it is Satta as well. Sat also stays with that. Therefore, Krishna is called Sachidanandam, or in other words, the soul is called Sachidanandam. The soul's quality is also Sachidanandam. Krishna is also Sachidanandam. So, Sandra Anandam Avabhodam Almagam Anupamidam and Kala Deshavadibhyam. Kalam and Desham, time and space, it is not limited to. This Krishna Anandam Avabhodam is not limited to time and space. It's beyond time and space. Kala Deshavadibhyam. Nirmuktam, always in the liberated state. Nityamuktam. Nigama Shada Sahasrayana Nirbhasyamanam. Thousands of sun, when it is giving its light, how brilliant that is. That is the blissful nature of the soul, or the illumination that's coming from that soul. So here, Krishna is saying here that once the mind is started looking inwards, once the mind is gone inwards, then the mind has no more time involved. Time is only when the mind is hovering external world, isn't it? So we'll understand this when we think about it a little bit more. If you remember in the 10th canto, Parikshit Maharaj mentioned this to Sudev Goswami, that Viryani Tasyagila Deha Vajam Andarbahi Purusha Kala Rupaihi. Then Prayachado Mrityumrudamrtamcha Maya Manushyasya Vadasya Vidvan. A very deeply penetrating verse, that is, Parikshit's verse. Parikshit is saying to Sudev Goswami that Viryani Tasyagila Deha Vajam, that those who have accepted the material bodies and andarbahi purusha kala rupai, inside them, the Krishna is present inside them, on inside as well as outside for them. That means all of us who are in material bodies, for us Krishna is present inside us as well as he is present outside us. Andarbahi, inside he is present and see super soul, and the soul inside, he is present inside, andar. Behi purusha kala rupaihi. Andar, it is purusha, the living entity. The soul inside is Krishna. Behi, outside, he is in the form of time. He is in the form of time. So, if you are living in the world outside, you are subjected to time. You are subjected to time. You are under the control of time. But once you have gone inwards, looking, and your mind's attention has gone inwards, looking, and the inquiry for the soul has started, spiritual life has started, then what happens is, andar bahi purusha kala rupaihi. So, at that point, the mortal nature of the person, who is mortal when he is living outside in the world, he becomes immortal. He becomes immortal. Because there is no time inside when you live inside. Time is only when you live outside in the world. The time is forced upon us by the outside world. But the person who is living inside, he is not controlled by time. That is why Parikshit says there, Prayachado Mrityumrudam Mrudamcha. For those who are living outside, Mrityu is certain. Death is certain. Those who are living outside, death is certain. Those who are living inside, amrutam, it is nectar all the time. Maya manushyasya vadasya vidvan. Maya manushyan, Krishna has played this role in this world and confused all of us in this way. Not able to understand who Krishna is. Krishna is that soul in everyone. Not knowing this, we have just thought about Krishna is another person like us, like the Yadavas did and so many others did. Not knowing Krishna's proper identity. That's why in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna himself says, isn't it? Avajanandi mam mudha, manushim tanimashidam, param bhavam ajanando mama bhudam aheshwaram. People do not understand me, who I am. They are thinking of me as an ordinary person like them. Avajanandi mam mudha, manushim tanimashidam, I have taken this human body and come here. But my real identity is that Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachidananda Vigraham. That Sachidanandam is Krishna. So, Maya Manushyasya Vadasa Vidvan. So, in sleep, you don't know the time, do you? If you are in a deep sleep state, time doesn't apply for you because you are not conscious of that at that point. And that's why when you wake up, you say, somebody tells you that, you slept so long, you say, and you haven't had enough sleep, you say, no, I haven't slept that long. You argue back straight away, isn't it? So when you are in a sleep, in a blissful state also, you won't know the time. You won't know the time. So in the deep sleep, you are not conscious of the time, isn't it? You're not conscious of the time. Similarly, realized souls also, in their realized state, they are not conscious of the time. So you can see where the problem is. We are conscious of the time, isn't it? We give a lot of importance to the time. Every time, I'm also looking at the watch. And you are also looking at the watch. So, but in the realized state, there is no time. There is no time. Time has no value there. And one who has enjoyed, or one who has realized the truth, who is experiencing that bliss, and in other words, who has drunk the milk of that self-realization, for him, even millions of our time will look like a second for him. It is only to show the difference between us and them. We are talking about these things. That for a non-realized soul, let's call it that way, all of us, who have no spiritual realization, what Krishna is talking about, who has not experienced the blissful nature of the soul, for us time exists. For those who have completely realized, for them there is no time. Time has no value. This is the reason when in Shastram you will see, when you go to the heavenly planets and other places, when you are in extreme happiness also, time does not exist. Isn't it? For example, in heavenly planets, the lifespan is, we say it's longer. We also say that 6 months there is, 6 months here is 1 day for them and all that. What actually it means is that in the heavenly planets, because the status of sense enjoyment is also very, very high, you won't know that the time is running out, because it's such a experience in the heavenly world that you find it difficult to take into account the time concept from here in that world also. So when we come back from the heavenly planets, we say a lot of time has elapsed. We say like that, isn't it? Why? Because the time there, because of the happiness there, you have not understood so much time has gone. It is in that connection it's spoken like that. In the Bhagavatam, you will see one or two examples like that. Mujgunda went to fight a war with the demigods, isn't it? And when he came back, a lot of time has gone. What does that mean? Because of the, it is spoken, actually time has no meaning. It's not that we have one type of clock and they have a different type of clock there. We should not misunderstand that way. What it means is a subtle thing, that time has actually no meaning. We have created a system of measuring time here, which doesn't apply to heavenly planets. Only due to our state of consciousness, when you are experiencing some great happiness in your existence, then you will feel that the time is endless. You are enjoying it for a long period of time. You get that experience in the heavenly planets. It is in the case of Mujgunda this has happened. Dasharatha went to fight the war in the heavenly planets. He came back. If you look into Dasharatha's life, he comes back when he was about 50,000 years old. He says he was 50,000 years old when he came back from the fighting, the war. In Tridayugam, people lived that long, as he say. So, in the same way, that time is only has to be understood in its proper way. In other words, time is only applied here in this particular circumstances where we are living now. So, yogis also, similarly, so because they are so happy in the heavenly planets, they won't know the time. They also are not conscious of the time. Just like in deep sleep, we are not conscious of the time. Similarly, in the great happiness in the heavenly planets, they are also not conscious of the time. Similarly, yogis also, because of their samadhi state, in their realized state, they also are not conscious of the time. Why? Time only comes when the mind comes out, isn't it? Only in the presence of the mind you measure the time. Krishna is saying here that the time wakes up when the mind wakes up. When the mind wakes up. For the yogis, the mind is gone. There is no more mind operating within them. So therefore, time also, they are also not operating within them. Time is also not operating them, operating within them. Sometimes we say, Krishna uses this expression here, day and night. Isn't it? Day and night. Krishna is not saying any time here. We notice that in the words, that yanisha sarvabhudanam isya jagarti samyami. Yasyan jagarti bhudhani sanisha pashyado mune. So those two states, day and night, is all what Krishna has used here. So sometimes we also say something is a truth just like the daytime we say. Isn't it? There's a statement like that. When we say sometimes, we want to give some stress to something. You're so convinced something is a truth. We'll say it's as truth as daytime. Like in the daytime, as you can see something clearly, similarly you can see it, in that sense. And something is not very clear, it is darkness to me, I don't understand that. If something is not clear to me, I can mention it like that. So these statements, something is very obscure, then you can say, it's not clear to me, I'm in darkness, I'm lost. People say like this, isn't it? When something is very clear to you, then you will say, it's clear to me like the day. Or in that way. So here, the yogi's day is night for us, and our day is night for the yogi. Yogi's day is night for us, and our day is night for the yogi. That's what Krishna is saying here. The reason for making that statement is, our world is sensual world. World of senses. And that is what is truth for us. The world of senses. Which means what? Hearing, seeing, touching, tasting, smelling, the five senses. This is our world. Our world is world of senses. Sensual world. This is what is in front of us. Isn't it? This is the world what is in. We are in this world all the time. And this is the truth for us. And this is the world what we see and what we experience all the time. On the other hand, the yogi, in the place of this world of senses, they are only seeing Brahman. They are only seeing Brahman. It's a difficult thing for us to understand even. What do you mean? That they are experiencing Brahman, or they have become Brahman. In other words, they have realized Brahman. So in other words, when Brahman realization state, Indriya Logam, that means this world of senses, cannot enter. For us now, this we must get it clear. Senses, seeing, touching, the five senses, Shabdam, Sparsham, Rupam, Rasam, Gandham. This is a sensual world, isn't it? And this is the only world we know. There is no other world we know, is it? Or do we know any other world? No. So this is the only world we know. For us, we can't go anything outside this world. We are stuck in this world. So, therefore, the yogis who have left this world, world of senses, and they have come to the platform of what Krishna calls it as the platform of Brahman. World of Brahman. That in the world of Brahman, in the place of the sensual world, it has been replaced by Brahman. Their consciousness. Now, while operating in the world of senses, how do we operate? We operate because right behind all of us there is the soul, isn't it? And soul and its consciousness is what is experiencing this world through mind, senses, intelligence. We are a false ego, we are experiencing this world. This is one world. Now, in other words, without senses, we are stuck in this sensual world, in other words. Once we leave this world and move on to the other world of consciousness, where consciousness is absorbed in Brahman, or Brahman realization has happened to those yogis, they are not aware of this world, what we are existing today. You see that difficulty? That this world, what we are existing, is unknown to them. They don't know this, that there's a world existing like this. Because they have gone into that world. And this is causing all the problem. Because they have moved into this world, all their activities are different. And the only way we call them is they are crazy. We call them, they are crazy. That is why all the self-realized souls, if you look into Bhagavadam, is addressed like Bala Unmata Pishachavad, Jada Unmata Pishachavad. They are in that category. Because their activities is not like our activities. Our activities are through senses, sense enjoyment. They have left this world of senses and they have moved into another world which is completely transcendental, and their consciousness are in a different state, altogether different. Altogether different. And therefore, we are not able to relate with them. We are unable to relate with them. And this is the situation Krishna is saying here, that this is true for us today. What this sensual world is the truth for us. And because this is the world what we are experiencing. At the same time, in the place of this world, this same world what we are seeing today, instead what they are seeing this as Brahman. They are seeing this as Brahman. They are seeing this as Brahman. Instead of the world what we are seeing through the senses. So, when that is like that, that world what they are living in, it is darkness for us. Isn't it? The world they are living is darkness for us. And the world we are living is darkness for them. That is that verse is talking about. Our world I mentioned before is what? Ragam, Dvesham, Kartrutvam, Bhoktrutvam. This is our world. That's darkness for them. Because they don't have these things in them anymore. That's gone from them once for all. So their consciousness has moved into another world, which is Brahman realization. So in that Brahman realization state, their world is different. And our world, that world is unknown to us, so that is darkness for us. And our world is unknown to them, so this is darkness for them. This is exactly what that verse is trying to tell us. Yanisha sarva bhudanam tasya jagarti samyami yasya jagrati bhudani sanisha pasyato muni. So, therefore, their day is night for us and our day is night for them. For this reason. That's clear, isn't it? What we are talking about, yeah? So, therefore, in Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a statement about this. In Bhagavatam, there's so many places this is discussed. Only thing, we won't take note of it. That's why we miss the point. That Bhagavatam says there, in their world, sun rises only once. Only once the sun rises. And it will never set again. Once the sun has risen, it will not set again. In our world, sun is constantly rising and setting. You see the difference? That for us, through the eyes we have to see the sun is rising every morning. And we have to see with the same eyes in the evening the sun has set. So we have created a world based around our senses and sense enjoyment. And we consider this as the only truth. And we live in that world truthfully. Fully committed to this world. We don't want to even recognize another world exists in another way. But yogis and the great jnanis and the devotees who have left this world, gone to that world, in the realized state, they are in a completely different state of consciousness. And there, once the sun has risen, it will not go. And never again the sun will disappear for them. Sun never sets again in their world. Our world, every day, the sun will rise and set. So there are personalities who have experienced, and they have spoken about that. Like among the Brahmanas, it is a common practice that they have a thing called Sandhyavandanam, isn't it? Sandhyavandanam is important for them. That in three Sandhya, they have to perform their oblations. And the prayers are there for Sandhyavandanam. It's important for... This is talking about the past in the olden days when they lived that life properly. Not anymore. Now it's not possible for them to do that. They're all working in factories, offices, and there's no question of Sandhyavandanam. And so it's a different... It's difficult now to explain more because one time people followed these things. Sandhyavandanam was very particular for them. So among a group of brahmanas, there was one person who has, at an early life, he has self-realization happened to him among them. Much early life, he had self-realization. In other words, he has moved beyond all this. Sandhyavandanam is all in that stage when you are in the sadhana stage. It's not the realized stage. Once you have moved on to realized stage, others may not understand that. Those who are with him may not understand that. So, when he has moved on, one of them has moved away from all this and he has come to the realized platform. So he stopped this Sandhyavandanam. Sandhyavandanam he stopped. So brahmanas take it very seriously in those days that somebody is not performing Sandhyavandanam means they will be looked down very much by the others. So they went up to him and said to him that why are you not performing Sandhyavandanam? Sun is already set. He says to him, I am unable to perform Sandhyavandanam because for me sun is not set yet. They did not understand it yet, what they were, he was saying. And so they says to him, one or two days they gave him time to thinking that probably he is in some state of distress or something, that he was not able to do it. But then they kept on pushing him that sun has set, can't you see that? That the sun has set. He says, in my world sun has not set. The sun is rising and it is staying there. It's not setting. When the sun sets, I'll perform Sandhyavandanam, he said. So, this is one devotee's realizations. Vilumangalam mentions this in another way. If you look into Karnamritam, you will find there, Sandhyavandana Badramastu Bhavado Bho Snana Dubhyam Nama Bho Deva Pidarascha Tarpanavido Naham Kshama Kshamedam. That when Vilumangalam was sitting underneath the tree, and Krishna came and sat in his lap. And he was busy looking at Krishna and experiencing that bliss with Krishna. Krishna always used to come and spend time with Vilumangalam. So at that point, Vilumangalam was a sannyasi at that time. And people were asking, sannyasi means he has to get up very early and perform all his spiritual duties. He hasn't even bathed that day. So Snana Devada, Pitra Devada, they all came together to see the Vilumangalam and asking Vilumangalam, why haven't you started bathing yet? It's already midday and you are a sannyasi, you are supposed to have got ready very earlier than this. So Vilumangalam's reply is like this, Sandhyavandana Badram, Sandhyavandaname, I'll pay my obeisances to you. Bho Snana Dubhyam Namo Bho Deva, Sandhyavandana Devada, Snana Devada, Pitra Devada. They were all come together. There are devadas or deities attached to all these different rituals. Pitra Devada, Sandhyavandana Devada, Snana Devada. They all come together and Vilumangalam is talking to them. Sandhyavandana Badramastu Bhavado Bho Snana Dubhyam Namo Bho Deva Pidarascha Tarpana Vidho Naham Kshama Kshamyadam. That to Pitra Devada, whom normally we offer the oblations, isn't it? Tarpanam. I cannot do that anymore, he says to them. I'm sorry, I'm gone, I've finished, lost that habit of doing that. And to Snana Devada, he says to them that I can't bathe anymore the way I have done before. I can't keep my commitment anymore in the same way. Sandhyavandana Devada, he says to Sandhyavandana Devada, I cannot do Sandhyavandanam anymore. I've also lost that habit of doing Sandhyavandanam. Why? Bho Deva Pidarascha Tarpana Vidhau Naham Kshama Kshamyadam Yatra Kvavi Kulotamasya Kamsadisham Smaram Smaram Akham Harami Tadalam Manye Ki Manye Name. Then Yatra Kvavi Nishiddha Yadava Kuloto Kamsadisham. Then Yadava Kulam, who is the jewel of Yadava Kulam, Krishna, who is the enemy of Kamsa, he has woken up and he is keeping me busy inside. Vilumangalam, when we say, when we speak in the katha form, In the story form we say like this, but actually what was happening inside Vilumangalam was that in that self-realized state, Vilumangalam was experiencing the bliss of Krishna's association inside. That smaram smaram akham harami tadalam manyeke manyename. I have to ask forgiveness from all of you that I cannot fulfill my obligations to you anymore. Why? Because of that realization I am experiencing inside. So in many, many cases like this, personalities who have gone to that stage, they are speaking from a different world altogether. We won't understand that, what they are talking about, isn't it? Because our world is another world. We live in the world of senses. So this is situation. Hridagashe chidanityam. This is Kakasheri's words on that. That is the first devotee I was talking about. Hridagashe chidaditya sadhabhadi nirandaram. Udayastamayo staha kadam sandhya upasmahe. That is the answer from him, from the request of the Brahmanas. And the Brahmanas asked him that, why are you not performing Sandhyavandanam? The answer was, Hridagashe Chidanityam, in the sky inside my heart, always shining Sadabhadi Nirandaram, uninterruptedly that soul is shining there. Udayastamayo yatnya nastaha kadam sandhya upasade. There is no rising and no setting there anymore. And what sandhya should I perform? Sandhyavandanam should I perform? He asked like this. That why? Because in the sky of that, the sky of Hridayam, in the heart, the sun of Bodham, Bodham means the consciousness has woken up and it is always illuminating inside. In other words, complete vasanas have gone away from inside and I'm experiencing that bliss, complete bliss of the soul. And there is no more sun rising and sun setting. So where is the question of I can perform Sandhyavandanam? Sandhyavandanam is based on sun rising and sunset. But if the sun is not rising and sun is not setting, he is asking, how can I perform Sandhyavandanam? That sun is risen inside and it is, illumination is everywhere. So, not only that, he said, I've got two contamination also. I'm contaminated, he says. Because two things have happened. One due to the birth and one due to death. That's his answer to that. They all speak like this in this way, in this language. One due to birth, I have contamination. One due to death, I have a contamination. What is that death? He says here, Mrida mohamayi mata. My mother, which was in me, which was ignorance, he calls that ignorance as his mother. That mother died. Because of that, I have a contamination, I can't perform Sandhyavandanam, he says. And similarly, he says, Bodhamayo Shishu, a child is born inside, which is my consciousness. It is taken birth inside. Generally, contamination is there when we have birth at home, isn't it? Birth in the family, there is contamination. Death in the family, there is contamination. So, Kakasheri is saying here, that I have, a birth has happened in me. What is that? Bodhamayo Shishu. This birth of knowledge, self-realization has happened. It has taken birth. Therefore, I'm contaminated. I can't. He's making a joke of it about your Sandhyavandanam. Because once you have moved on to that stage, all these are become simply rituals for you, Sandhyavandanam. But at the same time, you can't reject them. At that stage, it's necessary. So in his level, he is seeing Sandhyavandanam simply as a ritual. He's not seeing that anymore a valuable thing, important thing for him in his state. So he's saying, Bodhamayo Shishu, this new baby has born in me, so I'm contaminated, I can't perform Sandhyavandanam. Similarly, he's also saying, the other word he is used to us, Mrida Mohamayi Mata, my mother died, what is that? That I had this ajnanam, ignorance inside. He calls it as the mother. That was my mother all this time, who was keeping me going, that ignorance in me. That ignorance has come to an end, so I have to, because of her death, I am contaminated, I can't perform Sandhyavandanam. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, Bodhamayi Shishu and Mrida Mohamayi Mata. Therefore, the mother who is ignorance, she died. And I have got a child that's born inside who is Bodham and his knowledge, and that is realization has come. So I have these two contaminations, therefore I can't perform any karmam anymore. And so when the yogis or self-realized soul, when they are living in their world and they are engaged in various activities in their own way, they are not seeing our world. Automatically they don't see our world and give any value. So the world what they are seeing us, that that world what they are living in is darkness for us all the time. They are saying everything is Krishna. Present is Krishna. This has happened to Prahlada also, isn't it? Prahlada says, everything I am only seeing Krishna, nothing else. As soon as he came out in the realized state from the womb of Kayadhu, Prahlada's statement was, all I am seeing is Krishna. And Hiranyakashipu, exactly opposite. He says, I don't see him anywhere. I don't see him anywhere. So we are in this state, Hiranyakashipu state. So we'll discuss this tomorrow. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.